Today's sponsor is the Thomas David Salon. Thomas David Salon is one of Southern Delaware's premier full-service salons. Located in the upscale Painters Mill Shopping Center in Milton, Delaware, you will be treated to an amazing experience by one of Thomas David's highly trained and super friendly stylists. From a haircut to a color and even waxing, Thomas David's welcoming environment has you covered. To make an appointment, call 302-827-2466. All right, good morning and welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. Local folks doing local podcasts, check them out. January the 12th, 2022. Good morning, how are we doing? It's been a minute. Not even sure the last time I did this podcast. Sorry about that. I have had a toothache. Serious. And I'm only going to share this story because it's relevant to, you know, my addiction. You know, I shared the other day that I celebrated my anniversary, but my last use was not alcohol. My last use was pain pills. And pain pills, you know, they still dance around in my life, you know. I don't use them, but, you know, the last 3 weeks I've had a toothache. And, oh, my God, right? I got a filling, I think, fixed, maybe, or a cavity. It wasn't a filling. It was a cavity getting fixed back in October. And the guy, the dentist was like, you know, I'm not sure about this. You know, it's very iffy. It's deeper than I thought. You know, those words we hear all the time from the dentist. Deeper than I thought. And you know, on a side note, I couldn't imagine being a dentist. I mean, just what high levels of high and low levels of low. I mean, you're just, you know, you're helping somebody get out of pain, but at the same time, you know, it hurts. And it's just a tough, tough job. So he is like, you know, I don't know about this filling. It was a little pulpy. He used the word pulpy, which is never good. I think I had an infection in my tooth. And he should have, you know what he should have done? He should have put me on an antibiotic. And I'm not mad at him, and I actually, it's all good. But thinking back, when he said pulpy, because, you know, that was an infection. And he should have probably put me on an antibiotic and cleaned that up, I guess. But, you know, no, I love the guy. He's actually been on another podcast of mine. He's a super great guy. No resentments to him. You know, it's my tooth, right? And, but he's like, you know, it was a little pulpy, and he said there was some infection, and he goes, I'm not, hopefully this will be all right. You have to let me know. It might be sensitive, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, yeah, no problem. That's the story of my fucking life with these goddamn teeth. I told my wife the other day, I go, you know, God could have done a better job on teeth. It really fell short. God's focus on teeth is like my focus on education. We both could have done a little better. But it is what it is, and, but, you know, after I got that filling, I just really did not chew. I was telling the guy yesterday, I don't think I've chewed on the left side, on the right side of my mouth in a few months. Because it's all a bunch of bad teeth, right? They're all there, but they're just all these fillings that are like, really, they all should have been root canals. You know, I mean, I got most of my teeth. I think I'm missing one that I had to get pulled out a couple years ago, but my teeth. Terrible, terrible relationship between me and my teeth. I just get cavities. I don't know why. I mean, I guess in the beginning I just didn't brush enough. But I brush now. I mean, I definitely brush my teeth at least twice a day. But just always struggle with cavities. And, you know, so the right side of my mouth has been off limits, right, for a while. And every once in a while something will slip over there and I chew on it and it's like, oh. Ouch. So, you know, I've just been kind of quarantining that side of my mouth for a while. But like a couple weeks ago, I started getting a little pain. And, you know, sometimes I'll bite on something and it hurts. But it eventually goes away. It's like, okay, ooh, don't do that again. But it started to hurt a little bit. And it started to hurt a little bit more. And then it started to kind of throb. And started taking Advil, and then it started to fucking hurt. And it was clearly infected. I mean, I could tell. I mean, if there's going to be pain, it's probably because it's infected. You know, unless, like, you have an exposed root or something and air gets to it. I mean, I haven't had that, but that seems like that would create pain. But I know, you know, I don't feel like there's a big cavity or something. In fact, I just had a big cavity filled on this tooth. So I know it's not that. So it has to be, like, something in the tooth. So I'm like, it's got to be an infection. I freaking go. I call the dentist. I'm like, listen, my tooth is killing me. They're like, oh, you know, we don't have any openings. I'm like, well, can you at least call me in a prescription for an antibiotic? Right? She goes, oh, no, we have to see you first before we can prescribe it. I'm like, well, if you have any cancellations, call me. And I'm just kind of hanging in there. And but it's getting worse, and it's getting worse, and it's getting worse. And finally, it's gotten to a point where I can't. If I'm standing or if I'm at work, it didn't hurt. But if I sit down or if I lay down, ouch. I couldn't sit down on the couch. I had to sit in a different chair. I mean, it was just miserable. And so yesterday, I'm like, I got to get this tooth fixed. I'm going to call my dentist, right? And they're either going to take me or I'm going to a different dentist because it's just, this is too much. And so I called my dentist and he's like, come in, let's take a look at it and we'll check it out. And I was like, thank you. So I go up to my dentist and they look at it and he's like, yep, it's bad. I mean, you need a root canal is what he says. And he goes, but I can't do it. I'm like, oh God, oh God. And he calls a specialist, right? And I'm like, this guy, it's going to be March. I mean, I'm going to be with this tooth for another freaking month. And luckily, they were able to get me in. But before leaving, I asked if I could have a painkiller.
Uh-oh.
And this is tough, man, because I was in severe pain. And believe me when I tell you that I've probably taken a month's worth of freaking Advil and a month's worth of naproxen, which I think is Aleve, and I took a month's worth of Tylenol, and I found some old antibiotics up in the cabinet. I was taking that. I was taking everything. The pain was freaking. I thought about going to the ER, honestly. But, you know, the good thing was it would come in waves, and there'd be times where it didn't hurt at all, and then times it was just excruciating. So I'm like, listen, if I have to wait till tomorrow, I need a painkiller. I need something. And he's like, well, and I go, listen, I'm not a pill head, lie, but I'm in a lot of pain. But the reality is I am a pill head, but the reality is I don't want to fuck up my sobriety. But at the same time, I still have to fucking find something. Advil wasn't doing it. So I asked him if he would prescribe me something. I asked him if he would prescribe me a Tylenol 3, and I asked if I could just have four of them, because I was going to go to, he got me an appointment with the root canal guy for the next day yesterday. And I'm like, just give me four. I don't need 20. I don't need 50. I just need four. Give me one for now, two for tonight, and one for the morning. And so he gave me a prescription for four Tylenol 3. And if anybody struggle with pills, Tylenol 3 is a joke. And actually, after having taken it, it was a joke because it didn't do anything for the pain. Because it's, you know, I'm so nervous, I'm so ashamed of taking these Tylenol 3s that I only took one, right? I'm like, oh, you know, like just taking one proves that I'm not a fucking addict, right? But one didn't do shit. But I took one and I don't know, maybe I had a little relief, maybe the mental relief, but the nighttime came and I told my wife, I said, I'm taking two tonight because I want to get a good night's sleep. Because honestly, this whole thing is I haven't been sleeping. When we are struggling with a tooth infection, it wrecks our body. It is fucking toxic, and I felt like shit, You know, I just, it was a mess. And I said, I am taking two tonight so I can get a good night's sleep. But later on, I could find, I was like, if I'm going to like kind of be honest about it, I felt like I was kind of setting up a moment for getting high. Because I'm like, I'm taking two, right? I'm going to take two so I can get a good night's sleep. And I thought about it all day, those words, and it just sounded like an addict. It sounded addicky, right? It sounded like a guy trying to get fucking high. And my wife's like, yeah, absolutely, I get it. And it was fine. Actually, it was fine that that was my plan. It just sounded sick. It just sounded to me like old behavior. So the night came, and I decided, you know what? I'm just going to take one. Why do you need to take two? If you're going to take two, why don't you take one? And if one doesn't work, then you can take a second. But why all of a sudden do you need two? Because listen, people, I do not want to become back in the pill game. Back in the pill game again. Don't want to do it. And so I took one. Didn't do shit. I ended up taking the second one. It didn't really do shit either. I don't think... I didn't even really feel it. It was kind of, but whatever, got me through it. And then the next day, which was yesterday, I went to, had to work with more pain, just dying. And then went and got a root canal by a guy who was freaking amazing. And, oh, saved my life. And he was like, yeah, it was really infected and pulpy. He used the word pulpy too. I'm like, oh my God. So I'm having to take an antibiotic. I did not ask for any pain pills, but I can tell you, if I'm going to be honest, I thought about it. I thought about asking for some pain pills, right? And I didn't. I don't know if that ever goes away. You know, as much as I love to be sober and as much as work as I put into being sober, my addiction is always still hanging out. Always. You know, me and my addiction have gone a few rounds. Early on, you know, it was easy. I would fall for it. My addiction would pull one over me. But as I've gotten older and my sobriety has become better and the length of time has become longer, I've become more aware of how tricky sobriety is. And, you know, justifying... I mean, so granted, I was in a lot of pain. So right away, that's a green light. It's a green light. Because, God damn it, I'm in pain. That's what pain pills are for. And right away, the freaking conversation starts with me and my addiction. You know, hey, why don't we ask for a certain number? I don't know what my plan was. I mean, you know, on my right shoulder's addiction. And I'm, well, it really, like I've talked about freaking 250 times. On my right shoulder is self, the devil. And on my left shoulder is humility, God. And they converse, you know, because the fact is I'm still a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility, and it's never going away. To be as full as food. Yeah, so it was interesting. You know, that shit is still real to this day. And, you know, the weird thing was yesterday after I got the root canal, I kind of had this little bit of a moment of mourning, right? I had, like, my little experience with four Tylenol 3s, and for some reason I had, like, a little, you know, that feeling when you can't get any more? Like, I was like, you know, I can't get any more. Like, all I did was take four Tylenol 3s, and I felt like I'd been partying, and I was, my stash ran out. And, you know, it's fucking strange. It is strange. And just super grateful to be sober. I'm grateful that I can think about this stuff. I'm actually grateful that I have a job. I'm grateful we have insurance, that I could pay for it. My copay was $650. Yikes. But at that point, I'd paid anything. You know, it's a, and, you know, I'm not going to out the doctor, but my God, the guy that did my root canal was freaking fantastic. And he just, I mean, it was already sketchy. I'm not a big fan of teeth. I'm not sure who is. I don't think anybody's a fan of getting a root canal. You know, the whole name sounds fucking scary. But this guy was just so good, and I couldn't thank him enough. He's actually did a root canal on my little boy, Sam. Or he didn't do a root canal. We thought he needed one, and I think the doctor said refused because he's like, he doesn't have, his tooth hasn't grown all the way in, so whatever. But I really, really enjoyed this doctor. Just just super grateful. And, you know, and I have everything that I have is today is because I'm sober, right? And I'm just very grateful for that. Oh, and I tried to do a podcast yesterday and was so toxic and in pain that I couldn't even do it. So I've been a little bummed out about that. I probably have done a couple podcasts recently and was probably in pain. I don't know if I talked about it, but. You know. But anyway, that was that. Had a tooth problem. It's fixed. I'm not going to have to pick up a coin, thank God. But I do think it's important that I talk about, you know, that long-distance relationship I still have with pills. You know, they are still a powerful thing in my life. And they create thought that most things don't. And, you know, thank God that's over with. And I'm not looking, you know, obsessing about it anymore. Interesting day yesterday, you know, going through all that. I had a client yesterday, and she had been in my salon before, and she talked about the relationship with someone close in her life and the struggles that they were having, and, you know, and I shared my story, shared a little bit of my brother's story. The fact is that, you know, we got away with what we got away with for so long because we had people like my parents that, I guess it's enabled. They put things in our lives which allowed us to carry on the way we did. Money, cars, and stuff like that. And, we, you know, we weren't really rich people. We're just, my parents just hung in there with us. And I think that, and I'm very, you know, and I was telling this person yesterday, I'm very grateful for that. They probably shouldn't have. But I'm very grateful because if they wouldn't have hung in there with us, I'm not sure we would have had as much success. I know for me, at least, it just took me some time. You know, I talked about the other day, you know, when I finally got sober, I had no problem. It was easy. Easy peasy chicken squeezy was getting sober for me. But I also said that I absolutely wanted it. I had had enough. I'd had enough. I think a lot of people go through that. I think a lot of people have had enough and do quit. It's that period of pain, right? Because, you know, when I quit drinking, I had been punched in the face by a random person at a bar and my lip had been split open. I was ultimately humiliated and embarrassed and ashamed, and I wanted to fucking hide and crawl under a rock. So it was just a perfect opportunity for me to go to like a little rehab, a 5-day rehab, and it just was enough for me to get kind of brought into a meeting. It was just enough for me to find a temporary sponsor, and it was just enough. I don't know, you know, because, you know, after a while that pain fades, and you're like, yeah, maybe it ain't so bad, you know, like yesterday. You know, maybe I need some pain pills. Like, I forget completely how my you know, my pill life ended, you know, how bad it was. You know, I've forgotten all about that. I'm like, maybe just four, right? So, but I was, you know, I was sharing, you know, because this person was talking to me about this person in their life, and this person's like, you know, because I'm like, you got to throw this person out. You got to throw them out. They're never going to get it. You have got to throw them out. And they're like, oh, I don't think we can do that. We need to be there for him. And I'm like, okay, I get it. I absolutely get it. Well, this person came back yesterday, and the person's like, I'm trying to keep it very anonymous, because I'm not, listen, I know the struggle, but I think it's a real, it's a great story. But this person was like, you know, I don't know if you remember me, but I was here a while back, and you cut my hair, and I told you about this person in our life, and the struggles they were having, and, you know, and you gave me, you know, we talked about it. I'm sure I gave her some advice. Shouldn't have. I doubt I gave her advice. I just probably shared what's going on in our lives and what worked and what didn't work. I'm not here to give advice. But she, you know, the person was like, you know, and I really appreciated it. And I go, well, how is the person doing? Because, you know, I think my suggestion then and as it is now is this person needs to be removed from this person's life. Just like my brother was. I fortunately found sobriety a different way, but my brother had to be cut off. My dad had, you know, and I told my dad, you've got to fucking cut him off. He's never going to get it. He's going to continue to, you know, use you and abuse you. You know, and I said this to the person yesterday. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. That's how the first step reads. The way it should read is, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable to everybody else. And that's how it goes. Your life becomes unmanageable. I remember mine became unmanageable to my boss, to my family, to my girlfriend, to everybody around me. And I lost everybody. The only people that hung in there were my parents. And, you know, as bad as it gets, and like I told this person, as bad as it gets, this person always knows that they can rely on you. You've pretty much been put through the blender and hung in there with them. You know, and a thought, a thinking that might happen in someone's head, like, I know this is bad, I've really fucked up again, but, you know, they're not going to throw me out, right? They love me. It allows a person like that to continue doing what they did. It allowed me and it allowed my brother to continue doing what we like to do, which is get high and not care about anybody else but ourselves. Luckily, I found it a different way, but I told my father, you've got to cut him off. And my dad was like, and my mom was alive then, and it was brutal. You don't want to cut off your son. But they had to, and he walked off into the, into the sunset, right? Found himself a rehab, got into a halfway house, and my brother still, to this day, runs a halfway house up in Middletown, Newark. And my brother has saved men's lives. You know, he runs a halfway house, and these people are coming in, and he was telling me about one minute he's talking to a guy, the next minute he's fucking overdosed on the floor. And it's the latest fucking drug that everyone's doing. But, you know, he saved lives today. He saved lives being an example, and he's actually saved lives with Narcan. You know, this is my brother, who was a total fucking drug addict. But, you know, the rug got pulled out from under him, and off he went. You know, addicts are smarter than we think. You know, it's constantly a freaking chess game. One play, one move, one play. It's always shifting, and, you know, it's like, shit. They threw me out. All right. Okay, now we're going to have to get serious. Right now you start with the, I'm going to get sober. I'm going to rehab. I think most people that go to rehab are pressed between getting thrown out and losing everything or rehab. You know, it's an out. And then you get into rehab and you're like, this fucking place sucks. Get me out of here. You're like, no, you're not going to rehab. You're fucking going on the street. Goodbye. And then it gets fucking serious. And unfortunately, that's when we become quite awesome. You know, that human that's been so buried underneath our self-centered ways starts to pop out again. It's like, shit, okay, this is different. Like, I'm out. We need to do something. But I'm going to have to do it. Nobody's calling SSI. Nobody's calling the rehab. Nobody's calling jail. Nobody's calling and finding me an appointment to do something that's going to act like I want to get sober. And reality is I really don't. Nobody's doing shit. I either do something or I'm sleeping on the fucking concrete. It's a real come to Jesus moment. And like I told my father, I told this person, you need to throw this person the fuck out. I can't do that. I go, well, then don't. Then get used to fucking this. Get used to it because you're the last audience member of this fucking train wreck show. You're the last audience member. And as long as you're in the audience, they're going to keep coming on fucking stage. And that's what people, that's what addicts do. Until you walk out on that stage one day and there isn't anybody in the audience anymore. Game's over. And that's where the real magic starts to happen. And I told this person this back, I don't know, when they were in the salon that first time. And so yesterday I said, so how's he doing? Not doing good. You go, well, surprise. The only thing that fixes people like that is the hardest thing to do, which is basically cut ties with family. You know, I think when my brother went through his thing, he was probably, I would imagine it was like early 40s. He's early 50s now, early 40s. And my dad said, and I told my dad, say goodbye. Have a good life. I never, ever, ever want to talk to you again. Don't write me a letter. Don't call me. I don't need a report. I don't want to fucking know how good you're doing. I've given you 50 or 40 something years. That's enough. Goodbye. Goodbye. And, you know, and amazing and miracle things happen. It's amazing the miracles that will happen when you basically cut somebody off like that. It's the ultimate humiliation, ego devastation. That's when the fucking miracle takes place. You know, my father couldn't, you know, and, you know, I don't know if I could do it either. You know, if I had a son that was doing that, I don't know. I really hope I never have to be put in that position. I don't know what it would be like to cut off a son because I really enjoy my kids, right? I mean, I enjoy the versions I have now. I don't know if they became, you know, something other than what they are now. I don't know if I would enjoy that, but I enjoy my kids. I love my children. And so it'd be really hard to cut them off. It's tough. So, you know, of course, you know, my brother is sober today and he's in my father's life. And my dad is grateful for that. And I'm grateful for that. And I think my brother's really grateful for that. We're all grateful. But, you know, there are people still slip and slide into different parts of that kind of role we were playing. And, you know, I love my brother and I'm grateful that he's sober, you know, but I keep an eye on the whole situation, you know. I keep an eye on it. And I listen, you know, I have to keep an eye on my fucking self. Like this whole shit yesterday with these damn pain pills. I mean, it was tough. It wasn't really that tough. I just think it's important that I share it. I do not want to be addicted to anything. I'm so blessed and grateful for the freedom that I have today, the spirituality that I have today, the relationship with the higher power that I have today. I have a fantastic wife and family, and I just great business. And it's all because I got sober, and I don't want to ever lose that. And, you know, pills will do it. So I just think it's important I share that. You know, they still pop up, 13 years of sobriety, and that shit still pops up. And there are times, you know, I think that's why people struggle with food addiction, right? Because you still have to eat, right? I don't have to drink. I do not have to do drugs. But sometimes, you know, I'm in pain, and there's, you know, and I can say that was the first time I'd asked for anything that was above an Advil or something like that. Anyway, I hope everyone has a great day. Thanks for letting me share, and I will catch you later.